what's going down, and you're invited.
Disenfranchised people are set to explode.
Hey y'all, and welcome to another audio update from It's Going Down. We will be talking to a comrade in West Virginia, just over the state line from Virginia, fighting the Mountain Valley Pipeline. Just the other night, they went live and public with two tree sits. You can read their press release on It's Going Down. We're really excited they were able to set aside time to talk to us briefly. We hope this gives you a little bit of context for what the fight is like there, where their inspirations are, what strategies and tactics are informing them and inspiring them, and we hope to hear more from them soon. All right, let's get to it. I was hoping that you could give us a little, maybe a brief rundown of like the situation, of what's happening so far, about the MVP, where y'all are at, the tree set that was just announced publicly last night.
Sure thing.
And give people like who maybe aren't very familiar like the sort of broad overview of what's been happening.
Yeah. So we are out here on Peter's Mountain, which is a really interesting place, as half of the mountain is considered West Virginia, while the other half is considered Virginia. It's also like a really prominent and well-known, super scenic and beautiful site for the Appalachian Trail. It is unfortunately also slated for massive proposed extraction and destruction by the Mountain Valley Pipeline, which is a pipeline that is being built by EQT and partner with Precision. It's a 42-inch diameter pipeline. And this specific site, Peter's Mountain, is slated for drilling directly through the mountain. So they will enter the mountain on the Virginia side, drill underneath the Appalachian Trail. They actually have no plans to halt any hiking or any activity, and it will come out the other side on West Virginia. And so to prepare the pipe to come through the mountain, it's a huge process for them. And they actually have to fully build the pipe, suspend it, and then slide it through the opening that they've bored. The boring site is the Virginia side. They have to slide it through the boring site all the way in kind of one foul swoop. They can't kind of put the pipe together from inside of the mountain. And so what we have done is erect two tree sits on Peter's Mountain, on the West Virginia side, to prevent them from being able to clear or cut or prepare anything that they need to get started on this project. It's a much smaller easement, and also it is in Jefferson National Forest, which I think provides a lot of political reasoning for us, but also is strategic. And it's not because there is any lack of really rad landowners who are resisting signing easements, who are resisting eminent domain. Around 300 landowners actually are being taken to court or in the process right now of having their land seized by EQT through eminent domain. But for us, public land was just a much smarter strategic decision. And also, it is like an incredibly beautiful place. It is an Appalachian Trail site that is extremely well known, that folks roll through West Virginia, this part of the trail, just to stop and camp and stay in shelters on Peter's Mountain. And it's also like one of the most unique biomes that we see, like anywhere in the nation. There's plant life and birds that are found here that aren't found anywhere else in the world. And it's also karst terrain, which is like a really specific limestone-based terrain. It kind of looks like Swiss cheese. And the way that it works is it filters all of the water systems. So the mountain itself is a water system. And as rain falls, it filters through the limestone rock, which is actually how karst terrain is formed, but it's also the drinking water for everyone that lives around the base of or on Peter's Mountain. And to go in and destroy the site is obviously such an act of violence for so many reasons, and I think for us was like such a clear and also a poetic choice to begin land defense and to begin resisting the Mountain Valley Pipeline in this way with direct action.
Awesome. Thank you. I was sure that many people are curious to hear. I know there's been in Virginia and West Virginia and North Carolina and the path of the Mountain Valley Pipeline, as well as the Atlantic Coast Pipelines. There's been a lot of buzz for years about and like organizing against both of these pipelines. Mm-hmm. And it's really like this is the first real like kind of it feels like it's reached a bit of its like fever pitch where it's like a kind of a new phase of things going on.
Actually,
a new phase of this struggle, and obviously there's been this like pretty massive upswing of like land defense and eco defense and indigenous struggle that are of course very tied together. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about whereas like in other places there have been all sorts of lockdowns, tree sits, encampments, blockades, all sorts of things. Curious if you could give us a little insight into, with y'all's particular choice of tactics and strategy, and maybe some just like ruminations about where things could expand and how it ties into the larger picture.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. So I think that something I want to be sure to clarify is that like resistance and direct actions against the Atlantic Coast Pipeline and the Mountain Valley Pipeline, as you said, have been going on for years and years. But it is now, this is the first time that we are seeing this kind of direct action, this level of risk, direct action that's happening for the Mountain Valley Pipeline. And I think there is like a big piece of it where we are super inspired by Camp White Pine and by the Olympia blockade and by this kind of like insurgence in eco defense that is really thrilling to us. And I think that something about the Mountain Valley Pipeline is that they were slated to begin destruction. I was going to say construction, but I think I like destruction better. On February 1st, and there were massive delays. There were a lot of legal delays that were coming through, and it was kind of like mounting and building tension, and people have been talking for 3.5-4 years about what direct action will look like against the Mountain Valley Pipeline and the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. But with these delays, people were ready to respond. People were ready to blockade. And there just like wasn't really we weren't hearing, at least. I mean, I don't know what other people have going on, and I hope there are other AGs putting up sits and all types of shit all over the place, but we were finding out there was like a lot of building momentum, and there was a lot of passion around Peter's Mountain. There were a lot of people who were really specifically devastated about destruction of the Appalachian Trail, and also devastated about Peter's Mountain as like a site of an indigenous community, this biome as well that is so individual. And just as this like tension mounted, it became clear that public land was something that people were really looking to, I think in a different way than private land, which is not to say that that is not a tactic that we may consider in the future or a tactic that we hope like others are beginning to work on. But simultaneously, as these delays were happening, surveying and tree cutting was happening in West Virginia and was escalating much faster than it was in Virginia. And it became a lot more urgent for us. Also, as that is mounting, we are seeing pipeline resistors against the Atlantic Coast Pipeline begin to kind of get started for an occupation And being in solidarity with them, and also, of course, like being in adjacent states and communicating with each other and sharing a lot of networks, it became clear that resources were available and that people wanted to skill each other up and people wanted to get ready for this type of action. And, you know, seizing that opportunity in such like a beautiful space that so desperately needs defense, where the state has failed it again and again and failed the locals and just like consistently failed the people was something that felt really powerful to us and something that we felt like we could get a lot of support behind, whether that's like resources or folks rolling out to sub in or whatever it is that we need. We were seeing people step forward and asking what it is that we need and asking how they can help, and that kind of like mutual aid really empowered us to charge on. But it feels really good that right now the Atlantic Coast Pipeline and the Mountain Valley Pipeline are facing delays because of folks who stood up and are taking direct action. And that kind of solidarity really is invaluable to us.
Awesome. On some of that note, and the power that you are talking about that you felt and the passion that you felt from people all over that felt some type of connection or some type of way about Peter's Mountain in particular, and why y'all chose that site to be the sort of like first, you know, front line. I was wondering if you could tell us more about maybe some of the reasons that might be. I mean, you mentioned, you know, it's a very beautiful piece of land the Appalachian Trail goes through. And I'm wondering if you can give us some more, maybe just some more view of like what it's like there on a day-to-day basis and what it's like to be on that land in that place.
It's funny, as you're saying that, about an hour's hike away, but looking at the mountain, the sun is setting. It's pretty perfect. And I think that there's like something about this particular area and caving, like being really popular and something that a lot of people are engaged in from a young age and do with their families. And we actually met someone in our continuing to work with, someone named Purple, who is a nearby landowner. And that to me is something that I was moved by, hadn't seen before, in that Purple wasn't crying, wasn't mourning, wasn't devastated about his private land that he owned. Which is a problem I often run into in pipeline work, with the narrative of like, property rights, because I, as well as a lot of folks in my collective, will argue that private property is itself violent, that we're not in this fight to defend what someone quote unquote bought or owns. But to see this man who does own land, someone who I anticipated, kind of having those motivations, really not asking us to come and defend his spot, but being like, but what about Peter's Mountain? But what about the Appalachian Trail? But what about Jefferson National Forest? And that was something that was really striking for me. And when you're here, I think it makes sense to like appreciate the like constant running water all around you, coming down the mountain, bumping into folks on the trail who see what you're doing and provide words of encouragement, who stop for a day and like hang out, see if you need anything, you know. The land itself creates a community that I haven't experienced before. We got phone calls and have had visits from indigenous folks who feel certain or that there is more investigation to happen about the potential for this being a historical site that has a lot of artifacts for our remembrance of indigenous history and indigenous culture. And it just continues to be a place that that really surprises me, and is unlike anywhere else that I've seen in my years of like doing pipeline work and going on tours and rides and meeting landowners, and to, you know, to meet this person as well as many other people who this is the spot that they fear. This is the spot that kind of turns their stomach when they think about this kind of destruction. And I also think that there's something that I'm like running into in the ways that we like try to merge environmentalism and feminism that really kind of brings me to my knees, and like the very extractive and particularly penetrative method that has been chosen for this particular stage of the pipeline. It's just like, you know, every time I stopped for a second and wondered about like the strategic benefit of this site, like I was greeted with so much confidence from so many people who aren't working on this project, who don't even know about the work that I'm doing, that I bump into when I'm pursuing more like above ground, quote unquote, above ground tactics, who Peter's Mountain comes up in conversation, and it is something that a lot of people feel very emotional about for a lot of obvious reasons, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
I'm wondering maybe if you could say a bit about any struggles that have been in the past, maybe inspiring some of your efforts out there on Peter's Mountain, whether there's any, I mean, just looking at these pictures are incredible, just that came out on the late last night, the press release that went up on the site, on It's Going Down. And they're powerful, beautiful pictures, both with the land and just the sort of aesthetics of the tree sit and the banners. And it also, for me, harkens back to like some of the 90s forest defense efforts, even in the Pacific Northwest, and makes me think a lot of some efforts out in Europe as well. And I'm wondering if there's any, you know, particular flashpoints or struggles that have been influential in how y'all have conceived of your struggle out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for asking. That's a great question. I think that it would be like a mistake for me to, of course, not mention like the Redwoods and Butterfly's work, of course, is like consistently inspiring for folks who want to stop this type of ecological extraction and destruction. But actually, in the past couple months, when we really started to get to work on like the material realities of making this happen, we were greeted with, of course, the victory of the Zod. And I think that that has been something that we've talked about often, kind of riffed on and spent a lot of time really appreciating, both like for strategic and tactical reasons. Like, of course, we would love to have 30 tractors. That would be amazing.
yeah, wouldn't also, we all?
Yeah, but also for the idea of the French government official saying, and you know, in a media conversation, oh, we've lost that territory to the Republic. Like, that belongs to the people now, and we won't be getting it back, and we have no intention of trying. And just thinking about, like, okay, well, what happens if they extract whoever's shift it is? What happens if they come and arrest, ground support arrest, every, you know, and just, it won't, we can't just let it fall. Like, I mean, once again, talking about the Zod, like thinking about them coming with thousands of police officers and sweeping everyone out really quick, rapid response organizing, and then a weekend comes along, 10,000 people roll out to the Zod and build a small village in a weekend. Maybe that's like a dramatization, but like it's something that, because I think that in a lot of folks' minds with with this type of action. Like, once the extraction and the arrest happen, it's done, or like you're out of folks who have this type of commitment to this kind of defense. And I think a real fear for us is, if that was to happen, we wouldn't be able to use this exact site where we've like kind of created a layout and have spots nearby and like have those types of things set up to support the action, because they would immediately clear the trees. This is our understanding. But still looking to the Zod at like, it's not over until we say it's fucking over, and if we want to hold it down, we will hold it down, which of course isn't always exactly how it can go, but that kind of power, being inspired by that kind of power, is something that comes up a lot, I think, for a lot of folks that are working on this project right now. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's interesting.
That's awesome.
Today we had several run-ins with the state. At first, like early in the morning, like 8:30 in the morning, we like hear over comms that there's a helicopter coming through. We like look and we could see it on the other side of the mountain from where we're camping. And, we like hear back later that this helicopter was flying so low that the sits were bending under the air movement from the blades. They circled, they kept circling and circling. They filmed and photographed for almost a half an hour and then dipped. I mean, that kind of like wiped our brow. We were like, we got this, it's okay, no stress, we're here for y'all. Let us know if you need anything. And then, you know, a couple hours later, four sheriffs roll up and try and play Mr. Nice Cop, which was really, I think, interesting for the people in the sit who were so prepared for a really escalated violence. And so these cops roll up and, hey, buddy, like, hey, partner, like, we're not here to get you down. Like, we just want to talk, da-da-da-da-da. Unfortunately, nobody scouting or on the ground was, like, spotted or anything. So the only people that they had to interact with were folks in the sit and continued to ask questions. And the person that they were questioning responded simply by redropping their banner, by rolling up their banner and redropping their banner, which is really awesome. And, you know, the sheriff left, and we're like, oh, cool, okay, like, dodge another bullet. Like, hey, we got you. Let us know if you need anything. And then, like, right after that, you know, five surveyors come through and are dropping a bunch of fake tips, like, trying to psych the people out, talking about, like, how quickly they can get them out of there, this, that, and the third. And then, you know, just, like, staying resilient and feeling powerful and feeling good about what we're doing. And then those folks finally leave, and it's, like, these constant waves are, the like, the way that we are aware the state will try to repress this particular site of resistance, and is a way that we can, like, harken back to the Zod and, like, think about being wiped out and building everything back up from scratch and not feeling like this, that it's over, like they'll build the pipeline if these two sits don't work, you know, but thinking more about what it means to keep returning to this struggle, like, and let the waves of repression come and go and do our best to stay safe and keep our people well, but to continue to return to this fight.
For sure. Mm-hmm. I love that, dropping the banner repeatedly in response to questions. That's pretty good.
It's a good one.
I feel like I'd be remiss to not mention all the counties in West Virginia right now with the teachers on strike. And I'm wondering if I know y'all are pretty remote probably, but I'm wondering if you've had any interaction or how that's affected things at all, or it's probably maybe a bit too early to tell entirely, but I'm curious if y'all have had much interplay with that at all yet.
We have. That's what's interesting is the thing about every public school in West Virginia being shut down is that in every public school in West Virginia, there are teachers throwing down, which is, like, so fucking rad. Actually, like, some folks, kind of like a new wave of folks coming to relieve some people, like, their first night in, they were driving in, like, as the entire city in the nearby county, and, you know, a small town, I should say, but was totally shut down, like, wasn't mobile. Like, people were not driving their cars because teachers were in the street, which is so awesome.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, they did, you know, what I think any of us would have done, in that they got out of their car and were like, hey, what's up? And, you know, tried to interact with some folks. There was a lot going on. And then a couple of days later, there's a supply run happening. Folks are driving into, you know, kind of nearby civilization, quote unquote, to grab some things. And there are some people canvassing, talking to folks, some teachers, and actually also some, like, custodial workers and other, like, public education folks. And without anybody even mentioning it, they brought up the pipeline as one of the items on their agenda, one of the things that they're worried about. And, of course, like West Virginia, there is a deep, deep history of fossil fuel extraction. It is scarred into the land. It is scarred into the generational memory of Appalachian folks. And, you know, to see this kind of intersectionality in older folks who hold a more traditional profession is really thrilling to me, in that, you know, I know a lot of young organizers who I have run in circles with, who wouldn't link, you know, this kind of labor work, this kind of teaching strike, this public education strike with the pipeline movement. And so for the folks from here to not even say, like, oh, hey, like, we're here resisting the pipeline, and just asking, you know, these teachers about their work, for them to bring up the pipeline along with their demands was, like, really thrilling and really wonderful. And, of course, contacts were exchanged and, you know, more co-sponsorships to be announced. But, it's been really amazing, the timing as this has kicked off, as these actions are happening.
Yeah, that's a very serendipitous timing.
I mean, Appalachian folks, man, they just take no shit. I just, absolutely am amazed by them.
Yeah. I mean, the history of both resistance to extraction and labor fights and resistance to shitty bosses runs pretty strong in that land. Not to mention it being a place of refuge for indigenous folks resisting colonization and runaway enslaved folks hiding in those hills. It's something that when I go there, I feel like I can feel in the land, and that memory, like, stays. And you feel it as soon as you step foot there.
Absolutely.
I think we've reached about the amount of time we wanted to cover. I wanted to leave it open for anything else you want to say to folks. Tell people how to get involved. There's the press release on IGD, but wondering if you wanted to leave folks with any final thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks can check us out on IGD. There's a lot of links there. We are Appalachians Against Pipelines. And there is an email attached if folks want to reach out and are interested in getting involved. And for folks who maybe aren't able to physically travel to get involved but might have some resources, there's also a fundraiser link for folks who might want to throw a couple dollars our way, which we'll use for income replacement so folks can dedicate themselves full time to occupying this space and defending Peters Mountain.
Awesome. Thank you so much for talking to us with everything, all the hectic things going on.
Yeah.
And I hope we can get you back on here to give us another update once some further developments
absolutely.
Take place.
Yeah, I would love to talk to you all again soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you real soon.
I'm on some shit, right?
Now I do what I want. Now I do what I want. Now I do what I want. Now I do what I want.
Now I do what I want. Now I do what I want. Now I do what I want. Now I do what I want. Now I do what I want. Now I do what I want. Now I do what I want. Now I do what I want. Everybody know I'm better. Ay. Yeah, I'm better. Ay. It don't matter. Pockets fatter. Ay. Nowadays I'm on my haters. They got sadder. Ay. That's money longer. Ay. Different song, bruh. Ay. Different producer. But I can do anything and I won't lose her. She got right. Win, winner, left that loser. Ay. Talking shit, boy. Make me get my Ruger. Yeah, I sell my Ruger. All my niggas, they shooters. Rocking them grills all the way till my tooth hurt. Oh, he cold? Well, I swear that I'm cooler. That ain't no Rolly. This is a Frank Mueller. Yeah, Frank Mueller. Boy, I start on the bottom. Made my way to top. Boy, I'm gon' keep winning. No, I cannot stop. Remember, I had a little. Turned that shit to a lot. Always been 100. Put that on my block. Used to want that full door. Now I want that drop. Now I do what I want. 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 Now I do what I want.